Charlie, in the dedication to your book, you mention Margaret, your mother-in-law, and her fight against cancer. Sadly, in the early hours of this morning, Margaret lost that fight. So, first of all, I want to say to you, thank you very much for still agreeing to go ahead with this interview.
No problem, mate. Just it was a hard night last night. Obviously, it was early hours of this morning. Margaret, obviously, I dedicated a bit of my book to Margaret as well. And she had brain cancer, she'd been suffering for a while. It was a wee bit of shock last night. You don't expect it, you know, even though she's been ill for a while. I had my mum get diagnosed the exact same week, so it's been a bit of a tough year. But it's a sad, sad day because she was a lovely woman. I got on great with her. No, oh, you don't always get on well with your mother-in-laws, but I was fortunate enough to, I think I got on better than mother-in-law than I did a wife. But as I said to you earlier, I'd lost my wee nephew last week as well. My wee niece Charlie, she was 14 weeks premature, and the wee man, wee Harris, lasted 9 days. So obviously, like I get any the two of them in the book, obviously about the deaths or whatever. So my wee niece Charlie, love you to bits then, and still feel sad today. And obviously Caroline and my kids and Margaret's side of the family. It's a very sad day.
Does all of this, including the contents of the book, take you to a stage in your life, Charlie, where you're looking back and you're realizing where your priorities are in life now?
Well, I've always knew where my priorities were. It's not that I wanted to go there and take care of my priorities. I was always liking a night out and partying with the boys and things like that. But I'm getting to a stage in life now where I've really had to I have to grow up, and my kids are grown up now, nearly 16 and nearly 21, so they'll be looking after me soon.
You don't hide anything in the book. Your upbringing in Castle Milk, you admit to recreational drug abuse,
Yep.
to alcohol abuse. You admit later in life to going to Gamblers Anonymous.
Yep.
You also say that Sir David Murray might have thought of you as a Ouija Ned.
Yeah, I think obviously David Murray's came from Edinburgh. I don't think we've really ever seen eye to eye, to be quite honest with you. But it just, we were totally two totally different people, and he's obviously been a very successful businessman. Unfortunately, handed the reins over of Rangers to the wrong man, and we've been going downhill ever since. On the drugs side of it, I was a kid, I was stupid. I'm not proud of it, but I tried it. You'll probably get 95%, 90% of the kids who have tried the drinking the drugs. I would say I was a soft drug I tried, but I'm not proud of it. It's in the past now. You can only look forward. I still like a beer, no hide that. And that's I'm just telling the truth what's happened in life.
Do you think that wrongly people define you by your upbringing and by an infamous court case at the end of which you were found not guilty? Do you think people wrongly think of Charlie Miller as the bad boy and not Charlie Miller as the good football player?
Yeah, of course I do. That's part of life. People have their opinions, people have their thoughts, and I'm no different. I have my thoughts and what I think of other people, but people can say what I like. I've never, if anybody who knows me knows that I'm not a bad person. I've been involved in stupidity, definitely. The Fox Nouns incident was stupidity. I was goaded, I taken the bait, unfortunately. I didn't, I get not proven for my breach of the peace and not guilty for my assault. Wrong place at the wrong time with one stupid guy. And I'm definitely not a bad boy. Everybody could speak from Al McCoy to Derek McInnes to Craig Moore, people I played with in Norway, Australia, Belgium. I think I've always been one good guy for the changing room. Even at Dundee United, you can ask the people at Tannadice, the players, Alex Smith, whoever. I've never been a bad influence in a changing room. I think I've always been one of the lads, definitely, but I've always wanted to play football.
You were in 1995, in fact, Scotland's Young Player of the Year. How good do you think you were?
I don't know how good I was. I really don't. I know I was okay. I was no bad. I had decent ability, I think. I could kick the ball on my left foot, right foot, which you should be able to do, but some people struggle nowadays. But to break into that Rangers team, I must have had something, some kind of ability. It was never an easy team to break into. Not many players during Walter's reign, I would say, broke in and kind of stayed in. And I was playing in international players like so midfield and Ian Ferguson, Stuart McCall, you name it. I was trying to get in front of these guys, Ian Durant, quality players, football players. And then obviously the madman himself comes a year after. Then Alberts and things like that, you know. So
the madman being Paul Gascoigne.
Yes, greatest madman I've ever met in my life, yep. Nicest human being you could ever meet. Obviously he's got his demons, unfortunately. But lovely, lovely man, and it was a pleasure to play with him. Obviously, Loudrup McCoy, a lot of them, Hatley was magic, Hatley, what a football player Mark Hatley was, but to play with Gaza was surreal sometimes, but I was never allowed to keep the ball for too long because he always wanted it.
Do you think your story is still being replicated, boy from housing scheme? Has to overcome background to some extent in order to make it in the game. Is that story still being repeated?
Well, I think when I broke through, Hugh, I think there was more players from the schemes. Like Andy McLaren's from the same area as me, as you know, Andy well, Hugh. Me and Andy have been brought up together and we go on and we still see each other practically every day. We play on a Saturday morning, amateur team with Tynecastle. We have a great laugh, you know. I don't think it was as hard being a boy for the scheme when I came through to make it than it is now. I think it's become more a middle-class sport now, whereas you used to have all the people, boys making it from Castlemilk, Drumchapel, Easterhouse, you name it, they were. That's where all your best players came from.
Are we less successful because of that?
I believe so. You see now, kids want a pair of footballs, it's £150 a pair or whatever. It's phenomenal money nowadays. It's like obviously global brands, and there's Nikes and put a pair of footabouts on Wayne Rooney every week, and the kids see it and they want the new ones every couple of weeks. I could never have got that. I'd done Lop Romers or whatever you're called for £8. I accepted that. I knew it. I didn't know any difference, so it was no problem. And Andy would tell you the same. Obviously, you're from Drumtrap with yourself, Hugh, and your upbringing was probably similar to mine. So, aye.
Without the talent, let me see.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, mate. But.
You were in Walter Smith's Rangers team at the age of 17. You're barely out of Castlemilk and you're in the Rangers first team. It wasn't too much too soon because you won several league titles under Walter.
Of course I won several league titles under Walter, and it was a great time in my life, and I loved it. It was magic just to play with these guys. I remember going as a full-time, going into Ibrox as full-time, and realising, bloody hell, I had to realise quickly that I'm a worst player again. When you're 15-year-old, I was probably one of the better players at my age group, and then you go full-time, you've got pros who are 18, who want to get into that first team, second-year apprentices who are ahead of me, then you've got the first team in reserves, well, the reserves and then the first team, and all these guys in front of me, and I had to realise early that, oh, I need to knuckle down here, I need to make sure that I get into that first team. I want to be playing with McCoy's, Durant's, Hatley's, Stuart McCall's, Richard Goff's, Andy Goff. I wanted to play with him. I didn't want to go down, just drive a motor run to get it washed or go and get their tickets. Bugger that. I wanted the young boys to go and get my tickets. So I realised quite early. I was fortunate because I went in the Christmas. My old school let me go leaving school in the Christmas. And that done well for me because I realised then that this is going to be difficult. Because everybody wants to play.
You crossed the ball for the header from Brian Loudrup, which saw Rangers beat Dundee United and win 9 league titles in a row to equal Celtic. Were you aware that night, Charlie, of the significance of that moment?
I wasn't until afterwards. Until afterwards, I was. When I sat in the... We actually went out after it to celebrate, obviously. And I just felt the pressure coming off. But I didn't feel the pressure, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It was strange. But Andy Gorham always says he was injured and he was in Belfast and he had a left foot cross with Charlie Miller and a Loudrup header. That's total false, Eve, what he was dreaming. But it was the game. I can't really remember the game. I remember just Loudrup heading it and celebrating with him, and it's dreams. It's dreams. Honestly, it's just probably one of the biggest moments in Rangers history.
When you think of the players you were surrounded by at that time, and when you think of Rangers in the present day, do you almost have to pinch yourself because you were part of an era that's unlikely, perhaps, ever to be repeated?
Well, I played in, obviously, I think you had a strong Hibs, a strong Hearts, a strong Aberdeen, a strong Dundee United. I had a great upbringing. A great upbringing because I played against right quality teams. Because I think it was just after the free foreigner rule that I kind of broke in. No long after that, anyway. And I think that's why we had the nucleus of every team had good Scottish players in it, or good British players, and three good foreigners, practically. And I thought that's why we had good standards. The league was always good. We were doing okay in Europe. Aberdeen, Dundee United, Hearts and Hibs, Hearts anyway, were doing well in Europe. And I look at it now and we struggle, obviously. Player-wise, I think we're bringing in too many foreigners that aren't good enough. But there's still some good ones here, obviously, but I think we don't have the top quality ones anymore, so I think we'd be better with bringing my young Scottish boys through, you know.
Rangers were the top dogs in your era, obviously, with 9 in a row, but there were still epic battles with Celtic. To what extent do you think the Scottish game has missed the Old Firm over the last 2.5 years?
Oh, massive. Well, you just see it in the size of the crowds, obviously. I think television revenues obviously went down. The clubs are struggling for cash, and we're not getting the sponsors as we really should have. I don't think any other league in the world would probably have let Rangers, Hibs and Celtic go down. I think they would have Rangers, Hibs and Hearts, go down. Three of our five strongest teams probably, and it's craziness how these things happen. But it's just a sad state of affairs at the moment, and really disappointing.
There is an Old Firm game coming up, as we all know, Scottish League Cup semi-final. In your book, you say that you had an uncle who took you to Celtic Park 1 week and to Ibrox the following week, so you are well-versed in Old Firm matters. What was it like going to see Celtic 1 week, Rangers the next?
Well, what it was, I had two uncles, but one was a Rangers fan, one was a Celtic fan. So I'm Protestant, so, and I didn't know anything about Protestant or Catholics or anything like that, so I've never really been brought up that, so going to watch, I watched Celtic more, obviously, because my uncle, Benny, he had a good job, he worked, and he would take me there. But it was strange, definitely. But for a 9-year-old, I played for Rangers Boys Club, and Rangers was the only club I ever wanted to play for. It's just strange, I don't understand that. and I believe in, I could definitely have played for Celtic. I was good enough to play for Celtic if I could play for that Rangers team. But I made the right choice, and there were happy days.
Do you think that everyone will look forward to this match, February 1st, and it will turn out to be the biggest Old Firm game ever played because they haven't met each other for almost 3 years?
I just hope the football does the talking, you know. Celtic are obviously a little bit stronger at the moment. They're just picking up under Delia. I hope he does well, but not too well, because he's a Norwegian boy who I played against when I was over there.
Yeah.
And I hope he's not trying to bring Norway to Scotland, because it's a very difficult way of life. Obviously, I stayed there for 2 years in Norway. But it will be a massive, massive game, and I believe Rangers have got a great chance. I believe Coysdale get Rangers organised, they'll be hard to beat. But so will Celtic, obviously, be hard to beat. But it's massive, but I just hope the football does the talking and not off-the-field incidences.
What do you remember of Ronnie Dyla as a player when you clashed in
Norway? Sure he was a centre-back and he played with Viking. I only played against him once or twice. He was a good centre, physical, fit boy. I think that's what he'll be wanting the Celtic to be. He'll be wanting Celtic to be like that. Norwegians were very, very fit. For a couple of years I was really fit, and I had to accept it was the way they were. And plus, a beer was a tenner, so I wasn't going to drink every night.
Your old pal, Ali McCoy, says in the foreword to your book, he loves you. He uses that expression, he loves you. he this weekend could do with a little tender loving care himself, could he not?
I think he'll be fine. I think Coyst will be fine. He's had the booze as a player. He came through that. Flying colours, as we all know, as a legend, as a player. He's having a tough time at the moment. Obviously, every time we get close to Hearts, they maybe drop a point or we'll drop a couple of points, like Alloa last week. I think they're missing chances, which is the good thing. At least they're creating chances. I think Coyst will be fine. I think they'll go to Hearts, which will be a hard game on Saturday, because they've done great. The young boys have done magic, but the Hearts were very clever because they played the Newcastle team from last season in the Premier League. So they've got a wee bit of experience now. But it will not be an easy game for Rangers, but I believe Rangers can go to Tynecastle and get a victory.
Both clubs went into administration. Each club is now in a different place because Hearts have and Budge and appear to be moving on successfully. Rangers are still locked into internal problems, boardroom problems. Does that sadden you?
Oh, it saddens me a million. Oh, it's ridiculous how the club's been stripped and the money that's been taken out of the club. I think it was another 10 employees were sacked the other day. It's terrible, and I feel for them. Obviously, it's their livelihood and they need to earn a living, but we should never be in a situation where there's been money squandered unbelievably. I don't know who's took it. Well, certain people have taken it, obviously, but I don't know the ins and outs. I don't get involved in that because I'm no intelligent enough to be a director or anything like that. But it just breaks my heart to see my old club being in such bad state of affairs.
The headlines this morning had Walter Smith saying that he believes Ali McCoist has been let down by various boards at Ibrox. Do you think that as a manager, he has had a difficult time of it?
Yeah, because Coyce has had to carry the club on his back, practically. They've had, what, three different boards, I think, now. I think it's maybe more. Directors leaving, directors coming, money getting taken from this director. He's wanting $500,000 for winning the third division, this director. But how can these guys get bonuses for that? I don't understand it. And Coyce has had to carry the club. So I think he deserves a wee bit more respect. That let him do the job. Let them go and get Rangers back in the top league where they belong and support them.
And yet some of the Rangers support, Charlie, are very critical of Ali as a manager.
I listen to the phone and sometimes, Hugh, obviously you're on it and that. The fans pay great money to go and watch and they're entitled to their opinion. I can't agree with them all the time. Obviously some things that sometimes the football is, you know, maybe the best to watch or whatever. But I spoke to somebody who was at Falkirk the other week and they weren't happy and they won 4-0. So I don't know what to say. If you win 4-0, you should be happy. Obviously, people want to see great football, but you can't play great football like Barcelona's and Man United's and things like that. We just don't have the players to play like that.
Will Tynecastle be about the will to win?
100%. Tynecastle's a great stadium, great atmosphere. I love going to there. It's a cauldron, a wee cauldron. And Hearts fans are, when they're up for it, they'll sing their hearts out, obviously. But I believe the Rangers fans will go there and sing their hearts out as well. And I believe Rangers will get a good result.
Will they get promoted automatically, or do you suspect that Rangers might have to go through a playoff?
Well, the way Hearts are going just now, they're flying. Great respect to them. They've done great. Robbie Nielsen and Stevie Crawford have come in there, I think, under a lot of pressure, because Craig Levein's kind of at the back, directing everything, I think. So I think Robbie, if they hadn't had a good start, it'd probably been Robbie who'd get sacked. So respect to them, they've done magic. But Boyd and Kenny Miller, Nicky Clark, John Daly, they'll score goals. Rangers will go on a run. Boyd will get his goal scoring touch back, Kenny Miller as well, and then Rangers will go on. I believe Rangers will top the league and win the league and get back to the top of the game.
Because one or two Hearts players this week have been talking a good game, saying that if Hearts were to win the match, go 9 points clear of Rangers, Rangers wouldn't be able to claw back that deficit.
Well, it'd be difficult, of course. I believe Hearts, they've done great, but I still think they've hit a wee low. I think they'll go 3 or 4 games and they're going to struggle. especially when the winter comes. They've not got a great big squad, Hearts, whereas Rangers' squad's much bigger. I think winter time, it always tells you, when about Christmas, January, that they start losing points, start dropping points, these teams, and Rangers will kick on.
What does the future hold for you? Because I know that you're still close to Ali and to Ian Durant. I know you're still able to go up to Murray Park and watch games and so on and so forth. And you're heavily involved in youth coaching as well out at Tory Glen. Is there a place in football for you?
Definitely. I'm definitely going to do my coaching badges this year. Definitely want to get involved, because the last few years I've been doing Mons Football School, as you mentioned, at Tory Glen. And I believe that's helped me understand kids, understand what they want, when they need a kick up their bum, when they need a wee arm to round them to say, right, okay, you have to do this, you have to do that. And I believe it's helped me, because kids are difficult, because they don't show much emotion, kids, you know. And it's been great fun. But obviously, I believe I could do a job in football. That's why I'm going to do my badges this year, and hopefully I'll get the chance. But obviously, I'm doing a bit of work with John Viola, doing player recruitment. I'm going to watch a lot of games, and I'm loving it. I love watching football, you know. And it's great to see some of the young kids coming through. I watched the Victory Shield last night. I thought Scotland were very unlucky. And I know a few of the boys in that team. And I believe we've got some good young ones coming through.
Are you potentially a manager, or are you a training field man?
I would hopefully be both. You obviously manage the team, but be on the training field. I'd like to be hands-on. I want to get my points across. I want to play the way I would think you play, you know. I'm not going to say I would be free-flowing passing, I don't know, because you need the players to do that. But I believe that I would want to play the right way. Sometimes you have to roll your sleeves up and play dirty to get the results, which I believe Rangers might have to do on Saturday. So I know what I think I would like to do in the game. You always want to reach the top. Like I said, McInnes, unbelievable. Can't believe he's done so well. I still speak to him regularly. It's just Aberdeen. I'm no very friendly people with me up there. They don't know I like me that much, but he's done great, and it makes me happy to see him doing so well.
Last question, Charlie. Personal tragedy apart, are you in a better place now?
Getting there. Well, I've never actually. It's not. I've not had people say demons or anything like that. I've always been silly, do stupid things. I was a kid, I was living a dream, many people's dream. I didn't think it would ever end. And it's obviously came to an end 4 years ago when I stopped playing. And I was like, what the bloody hell am I going to do now? I understand how Gaza, because Gaza, his life was football, and I understand how he's probably got depressed because he can't play anymore, he needs company and things like that. I wouldn't say I had demons, definitely no, but I didn't suffer depression like a lot of players have. I just realised that it came to an end, and it's somebody else's chance, you know. Football doesn't owe me anything, I owe football everything. I was very fortunate to be successful. I should maybe have done more, but you can't have regrets, you just have to look forward.
The book is called The Proper Charlie. It's been a proper chat. Thanks, Charlie.
Cheers, you. Top man, Paul.